Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Proverbs 35. Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Proverbs 27:17. Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no revelation, people cast off restraint, but blessed are those who heed wisdom's instruction. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 23:7. For he is the kind of person who is always thinking about the cost. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. Proverbs 23:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. May we pray together, please. Father, we rejoice today in the fact that we have our roadmap, which is the wonderful Word of God. We're aware of the fact that every day we live, for us to be able to be successful and triumphant and victorious in life, it's our responsibility to utilize this roadmap and have our thinking in proper relationship to the thinking of our Savior, that we might be able to have divine vertical viewpoint. On this earth, we live just a few years at the longest. And so while we're here, help us to major on the major aspects of life and minor on the minor aspects of life. May we emphasize properly every day of our lives the Lord Jesus Christ and live in accordance with His magnificent plan. We've been given so many wonderful verses of Scripture. We now find ourselves in the midst of this wonderful book of Proverbs. So many magnificent truths that you have for us. We pray that we will have open minds and open hearts to these truths. And we thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm aware of the fact that our verse is Proverbs 3:13. But I want to ask you, if you will, please, to be with me in the study, in the reading, beginning with chapter 3, verse 1 and following. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Proverbs chapter 3, now verse 2. For the length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Verse 4 of Proverbs chapter 3. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Verse 8 of chapter 3 of Proverbs, it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loath His reproof. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves, even as a father the son in whom He delights. Now our verse for this morning, chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. What a magnificent verse we have for us today. How blessed is the individual who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. What is amazing to me is, as I studied in preparation for this message today, dealing with the subject of Solomon, I couldn't help but think about the fact that when we were studying 1 Kings, we gave information in relationship to Solomon. I want to repeat just a few things that I gave you then. In 1 Kings 1 and 2, we have an emphasis upon King Solomon. In chapter 3, desires wisdom. Chapter 4, an emphasis upon wealth and wisdom. He possessed vast business enterprises. His emphasis was upon advance. He was famous for his literary attainments. We discover that Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs, and scientific works on botany and zoology, all presented to us in 1 Kings 4, 32 and 33. He wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. When you get to 1 Kings chapter 5 through 8, he builds the temple. Chapter 9 and 10, he devoted himself to commerce and gigantic public works. We all understand that David was a warrior. Solomon was a builder. People came from the ends of the earth to hear Solomon's wisdom and to see his glory. The famous Queen of Sheba said, "The half was not told me." When you go to 1 Kings chapter 11, there's an emphasis upon something that began to take place in Solomon's life. Married idolatrous women. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Some little kid said 300 porcupines. Chapter 11, he married idolatrous women. 700 wives, 300 concubines. Many were daughters of heathen princes, and for them he built heathen altars. David had suppressed idolatry, and yet Solomon now reestablished it in the palace. I have to stop right here on review of 1 Kings, but you'll notice that I have here a nation now on the road to ruin. I felt like it was important for me to share with you just a little information which we gave when we were studying 1 Kings. Our verse this morning is Proverbs 3:13, which says, "Happy is the man, happy is the individual that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding." Are you able to see the importance of those words? Happiness belongs to the individual that finds wisdom, which is the utilization and application of the Word of God, and the individual that gets understanding. How fantastic it is that God has instilled in us the desire to know Him better. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the individual who gets understanding. The poetical books of the Bible are classified as Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. In these books, we have thought rhyme expressed in parallelism, repeating the same thought in different words. That's what the preacher does, preaching and repeating things in a different way, so that you'll be able to comprehend the content of the message. Repeating the same words, but saying it in somewhat of a different way. The emphasis here is not on meter or rhyme, but on thought rhyme. It has been said that in Psalms, the Christian is on his knees, while in Proverbs, the Christian is on his feet. Something for you to think about. In Psalms, a Christian is on his knees, while in Proverbs, a Christian is on his feet. The Christian's devotion is found in the Psalms, while the Christian's walk is found in the book of Proverbs. In this book, we see the practical affairs of life, specifically emphasizing righteousness and fear of our Heavenly Father. It seems that the book of Proverbs deals with every relationship in which we find ourselves. Could it be an instruction book for us today? Do we wish to be wise? Do we want our Christianity to be practical? It has been said that Solomon wrote more wisely than he lived. And I'm of the opinion that the reason why I mentioned what I did about 1 Kings a few moments ago is to let you see what this means. Do we wish to be wise? Do we want our Christianity to be practical? It has been said, and I repeat, that Solomon wrote more wisely than he lived. As a young man, Solomon had a consuming passion for knowledge and wisdom, as revealed in 1 Kings chapter 1, 9 through 12. His intellectual attainments became the wonder of his age. Kings came, as we all know, from the ends of the earth to hear him. He lectured on botany, zoology. He was a scientist, a political ruler, a businessman with vast enterprises. He was a poet. He was a moralist. And yes, he was a preacher. Can you imagine? Reading 1 Kings chapters 4 and 9 expounds on the fact that he was a preacher. This book opens with the words, the Proverbs of Solomon. I've already said this because I gave this information when I taught 1 Kings. He wrote 3,000 Proverbs, 1,005 songs, as cited in 1 Kings 4, 31 and 32. He was an architect of the temple, a king, a philosopher. And right here, when I prepared the message, I wanted to come back again to tell you how important it is to see that word philosophy. But I won't do that because I want to move along. This wonderful book has been presented as one of the best guidebooks to success that a young man can follow. Please notice here some of the subjects of the book of Proverbs: wisdom, righteousness, fear of God, knowledge, morality, chastity, diligence, self-control, trust in God, proper use of riches, considerateness of the poor, control of the tongue. You're saying, would you stop, please? There are too many. Yes, this is a magnificent book. And I shall repeat, this book deals with wisdom, righteousness, fear of God, knowledge, morality, chastity, diligence, self-control, trust in God, proper use of riches, considerateness of the poor, control of the tongue, kindness to enemies, choice companions, the choice of companions, teaching children, honesty, idleness, laziness, justice, helpfulness, cheerfulness, common sense. And I could go on and on and on in this magnificent book of Proverbs. We see so many different concepts and ideas in this book. In the first 10 chapters, we see counsel for young men. I'd like to ask you, young men, middle-aged men, and older men, and very old men, to study these first chapters of Proverbs. In the first 10 chapters, we see counsel for men, specifically the young men, counsel for every man, and then chapters 21 to 31, counsel for kings and rulers. In Proverbs, we see no agnosticism. In fact, God is taken for granted. I thought you ought to think about that. Find him, know him, follow him, and life will be different. I'm convinced that I should shout that to the world. I'm convinced that when we find him and know him and follow him, life will be different. And I can tell you that that is true in our lives, your pastor and his wife. Every day it seems to me that the Word of God becomes more important and God's plan for our lives becomes more important. This book presents a system of conduct that allows an individual to view everything from God's viewpoint. The question I have for you today, and I ask myself, are we seeing things from a vertical, divine, godly viewpoint? The various experiences that we have on a daily basis. This book presents a system of conduct that allows us as individuals to view everything from God's viewpoint. This system includes the Lord Jesus Christ and reminds us of what John tells us in 1 John 5:20. It says, "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given to us understanding that we may know Him that is true." You ought to write that passage of Scripture down. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it wherever you can find it. Look at it over and over again. 1 John 5:20. "And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true." The book of Proverbs is a practical book. The book of Proverbs is a practical book that deals with the ordinary details of life. Here we find our duty to God. Here we find our duty to our neighbors. In fact, we find our duty as a citizen, all presented to us in the book of Proverbs. The reason for this wonderful book is stated clearly in Proverbs 1:7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." That word fear is an interesting word. It does not mean to be afraid. It means to have awe and respect for God. Notice, if you will, the fear, awe, respect to the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Then look at it. "Fools despise wisdom and instructions." I understand that the unbelievers were saying that they were disappointed that there was not a holiday for them. And someone came up with the idea, yes, there's a holiday for you. It's April Fool, Fool's Day. "Fools despise wisdom and instruction." This is saying, first, we should have the proper awe, admiration, respect, and obedience to our Heavenly Father. Would you let me repeat that? Because it's so powerful. This is saying, first, we should have a proper awe, respect, admiration, and obedience to our Heavenly Father. And secondly, this deep devotion and commitment to God will result in a changed walk in life, avoiding the pathway of evil. I know, preacher, you go too fast. Yes, I do. I know sometimes I say things so rapidly that you don't catch it and it doesn't stay with you. But secondly, I'm saying here, this deep devotion and commitment to God will result in a changed walk in life, avoiding the pathway of evil. That's the reason why in Proverbs 3:6 we find, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Isn't that beautiful? What does it say? It says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." And Proverbs 4:15 says, "Avoid evil, pass not by it, turn from it." I think they ought to be putting these two verses as Proverbs 3:6 and Proverbs 3:7. But it's Proverbs 3:6 and Proverbs 4:15. Do you see what I'm saying? "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." Proverbs 4:15, which says, "Avoid evil, pass not by it." Avoid evil, pass not by it. Turn from it. In other words, young people, middle age, older, when we see it, turn from it immediately. That's what it's saying. "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." I want you to know that I'm having fun studying the Proverbs, and I'm aware of the fact that I cannot go through every verse. I'm telling you that when we typed out these verses And Edie did this, and we have, I put down verse after verse after verse and had it in red and in black, and I sent it over to her, and she said, "You want to number these?" And I said, "No, let's just do it." And so we have them, and you're able to see that we're giving five of these verses at a time as we begin our service. But what I'm discovering, and I have to tell you, that the more I look at the book of Proverbs, I find that God's Word is telling us how to live successfully. So, these Proverbs will provide short, valuable, and challenging rules for living life successfully by the wisdom of God. You have to understand the way I prepare for you. I don't prepare for you because I want to show you how important and how great it is that I know about these verses. I prepare this because I want something from God for me and something from God for you. And so I want you to see that not always do I have a 1, 2, 3 sermon and a poem and a wonderful introduction. I've learned all that in the seminary. And I've forgotten it. Oh, no, I still remember it, but I don't use it. Living life successfully. These Proverbs will provide short, valuable, challenging rules for living life successfully by the wisdom of God. What an exciting literary form. What an interesting way of communicating truth. And all by the divine inspiration of our Lord Jesus Christ. These are not just any proverbs. They are the proverbs of Solomon, son of David, and king of Israel. Begotten and trained by the man after God's own heart. Did you understand what I just said? You have a picture of David, a man after God's own heart. You see the influence of David on Solomon? I'm trying to let you see. So what do we have? We have to back up a little bit. These are not just proverbs. They're the proverbs from Solomon. God, of course, son of David, king of Israel, begotten and trained by the man after God's own heart. God gave Solomon largeness of heart. God gave Solomon wisdom above all other men, as 1 Kings 3:12 says, and as 1 Kings 4:29-31 says. As a rich king with a peaceful reign, he explored the purpose and the rules for life more than any other man could even attempt. As is recorded in his philosophical book, Ecclesiastes. You know what? One of these days we're going to leave Proverbs and go to Ecclesiastes. Can you remember a little bit about what I'm saying now? God inspired Solomon to write many proverbs by which he taught the people knowledge and set out acceptable words, even the words of truth, as Ecclesiastes tells us, of a total of 3,000 proverbs. Where did you get that, preacher? 1 Kings 4:32. The best 500 or so are here. What a collection. You will learn wisdom to cover most of every aspect of your life in the study of the book of Proverbs. Success is right before all of us. When I got to this point, I wrote myself a little note to share with you. Let's tremble before the Word of God. Let's tremble before the Word of God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? When we come to this magnificent book, God's book, let's tremble before the Word of God and the observations of Solomon. Tremble before the Word of God, but also rejoice at the opportunity of finding great spoil from the mind of God. May our intent be learning. May our intent be obedience only, without even a trace of mere academic interest or knowledge for the sake of pride. Now, you'll have to really think about what I'm saying there. I want you to know that we could be egotistical, braggadocious, supercilious, all of those fancy words that talk about just being full of yourself. That's not what we're to do. As I come here to present God's word to you, my responsibility is to lead us to tremble before the word of God, understanding that God has a message for us, and we're to be obedient to that message. What we find in this magnificent book is wisdom. And the word wisdom, as we've already explained, is the utilization and application of truth. But I need to tell you something. Wisdom is available. Wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. Now, you won't get that just in rapid statements. Wisdom is available. It is the correct use of knowledge. In the first chapter of Proverbs, it's wisdom that moves the believer. In the second chapter of Proverbs, it is wisdom that drives us away from disobedience. In the third chapter of Proverbs, it is wisdom that gives us joy and peace and security. When you go to the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs, it is wisdom that gives good judgment and common sense. Would you agree that America needs a common sense? When you go to Proverbs chapter 5, it is wisdom that guards the young man from the prostitute. I'm here to tell you that chapter 5 will make your hair stand on edge. What we have is wisdom from God. Please notice, wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. How can I tell you what our responsibility is? I'm trying to tell you. Wisdom is the word Sophia, which means the utilization and application of truth. Wisdom is from God, learned by studying the Bible, shaped by the Holy Spirit. God delights to give. In fact, He gives generously and doesn't insult you for asking. Please notice what I've said. God's not going to insult us for asking. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. Some of you ought to be writing some of these things down, folks. Wisdom is not the product of philosophical speculation or intellectual accumulation. It is God's gift of beauty of holiness. What is wisdom? Wisdom is reasoning power. Let's think about that for a few moments. Wisdom is reasoning power, the ability to follow the best course, the art of being successful. Wisdom is found in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in human rational thought. God provides everything we need for life and godliness. God provides what is necessary to face the trials and difficulties and burdens of life. All of us have faced and will face in the future trials and difficulties and burdens and heartaches, ups and downs of life. God provides what is necessary to face these trials of life. Many times I've been standing by the side of someone whom I love and a member of this church before a casket, and I understand that we are to cry. We are the same individuals as anyone else. It's normal for us to weep, and we should, but we are not to weep as those who have no hope. And we know, and I have been by the side of many, many people, even though they are weeping their hearts out, they know down deep in their hearts that the greatest thing in this world has happened for this loved one. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. God provides what is necessary to face life's trials. And God provides the searching believer generously in grace. How fantastically blessed we are. God has provided everything we need to to grow and to advance and to have a happy, radiant, triumphant, victorious life. God wants us to have it. And the reason why we have this additional class by John is people can know more about how to have it. And that's the reason why we invite you to stay for the next session, as John will come in a few moments to lead believers advancing class. It's not for new believers, it's for believers who want to advance. So if you want to, you're welcome to stay. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're thankful indeed today for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we have this book, and that we are able to open our hearts and minds to these magnificent truths. We realize that the greatest thing we can do in life as a believer is to love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, love the Word of God, and utilize truths every day. And for those who hear the message today who have never yet accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, these last moments are spent just to remind them that when God loved, He loved the world. And when Christ died, He came to this earth to die for the sins of mankind. That's the reason why we have that magnificent verse, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, only one born of its kind." He came to die, to give His life completely, that we might believe and have everlasting eternal life. And we thank You, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. We pray that there will be those who will trust You, even at this very moment, no matter where they are, no matter who they are, no matter what their past has been, where they are at this very moment, they can become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.